get started with our post-race press conference. We're now joined by our race-winning driver and owner, Brad Keselowski, and his daughters, Autumn and Scarlett. We'll go ahead and open it up. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll try to get to as many as we possibly can. We'll go to Bob, Cameron, and Jacob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. It's the first time the six has been in victory lane since 2011. So I'm curious if that means anything to you just from a historical sense.
Yes and no. I'm not a huge numerology guy, but it's still a historic number in the sport. All the single digit numbers, I think, in NASCAR kind of have this legend to them. So it's nice to get it back in victory lane. There's a lot of things to be excited about, so it's really hard to pick one over another, right? Whether it be just winning as a whole, winning at Darlington, winning and locking into the playoffs, winning with my family here, winning on Mother's Day. I don't know how to pick which one means the most, but they all mean a lot, I can tell you that. It's good for Jack to have been here, too. I'm sure I'm missing. Good for Ford, first win with the Dark Horse, and they've had a rough go the last few months, so there's a lot to be excited, a lot to like about it. Not sure I know how to scale it, Bob. Which ones are more than others?
And obviously, Buescher was not the happiest after this one. And I'm curious, we were talking to him. Does he need a race any, dirtier or anything to get a win? And so, what would you tell him if he asked you that, or people said he needs to be a little bit more not as polite?
Chris has his style, and it's worked really, really well for him. I don't think Chris needs to change a darn thing about what he does. It might not have worked out today, but there's other days where it works for him and makes him what he is. It makes him special, makes him good. I hate that he didn't get the result out of it. I know he had some damage on the car, and that was holding him back a little bit. And so he wasn't able to drive away like you would assume a leader would do on a situation like that. But I thought he did a great job of putting himself in position and to not get a result. I'm sure it's hard to stomach. And it should be hard to stomach. That's what you want out of your driver, right? You want him to be upset when he doesn't win. I would say, Chris isn't sitting in front of me now, but I would tell him, just keep being Chris. Keep doing what you do.
Go to Cameron and then Jacob.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Brad, you've had a lot of important wins, monumental wins in your career. Just where does this one rank for you personally, for your driving career, given the last 2-3 years where you went without a win?
Yeah, ranking wins is hard. your first win is always really special, and then there's, these other moments in between. Winning here in 18 and sweeping the weekend was awesome. That's one of the best weekends of my life. I remember coming home from that and thinking, this is as good as it gets, right? And then you have other wins that you mean a little less, and you're like, oh, that kind of feel guilty about that, right? I don't want to take those for granted. But Darlington to me has its own thing about it, its own mystique, where it's always been like this really tough driver's track, and to win here multiple times kind of puts you in a crowd of drivers that I think most of us would recognize as elite. And so, it feels really good because not of what it means, whether it be the fame or the money or all that, and not really even about, other people cheering and being excited. I'm glad my fans are happy. I think that's awesome. But it's like a self-respect thing when you win at Darlington, right? Because as a driver, we all know when we come here how tough this place is. And when you win here, as a driver, and you know what it means, it's like you almost respect yourself, right? And that sounds kind of egotistical as I'm saying it, but I don't know how else to say it, but... there's certain wins that you just look back on a driver's career and they look back on a driver's career and they say, this one means a lot to me personally because I know what Darlington is. I know what it means to the sport. I know what it means to win here. And I'm glad to be on that list multiple times.
We're going to go to Jacob, and then we're going to go up to the press box to Jim, and then over to Matt.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Brad, question in two parts for you. First, you talked right here.
Where's he at? Oh, there, right in the back. Okay.
You talked about this one meaning a lot in a lot of different ways. You came to RFK from Penske when you said it at the beginning, wanting to make the organization better. We've seen a lot of that over the last 3 years, but not just as a driver, but from the ownership standpoint and what you've poured into the organization. How rewarding is finally being able to sit in victory lane in your own right?
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter what you do in life, you want to leave a mark. And some in other ways than others. You know, I'm really proud of the career I've had at Penske, and I always will be. It was a really special place to work with some special people. And this is just another chapter, right? It doesn't replace that chapter. But it's another chapter where, you know, I can look in the mirror and say that, you know, I'm leaving some kind of mark on the sport, maybe even some of the people. You know, I take as much pride in anything as helping the people and being on teams and seeing the 19, 20-year-old kid that comes in as an intern and watching them learn something, or seeing the 23-year-old that just graduated college and didn't make the NFL draft but comes in as a pit crew member and is now going over the wall and has a good job and does a great job. And, I take as much about that as I do any of my own success, because it feels so good to, you know, leave a positive mark on others that way. And so it's just another chapter for me. I don't know what the next chapter will be. I'm not done with this one. I hope I got a lot more pages to write. Took a little longer than I would like to have got an official win, although I did win the duel there right out of the gate, but I guess that doesn't count, does it? you know, we were so close for so long. This is our class clown, by the way. this is my child. I don't know if you guys picked that one up. Where was I going with that? You know, so to speak, I'm just thrilled that I'm able to put some meaningful pages in this chapter, and I hope that there's a lot more to come.
I'm glad that we're getting a little levity from the girls, because that was where I was going with the second part of this. I had a picture in Victory Lane where it's you, Paige, and the three kids, and those are the moments you can't trade. How special is it to, you know, to have one where these two certainly are going to remember it as much as you are, yeah, but to have all three of them be a part of this?
Yeah, one of my probably favorite childhood memories is being in Victory Lane with my dad, and I think I was 10 or 11 years old, just a year or two older than Scarlett here, and I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget the butterflies in my stomach as my dad was leading with just a few laps to go. And, you know, I want that same memory for them, right? This is one of those core memories that I have. And I'm just glad to see it come together for them.
Were you nervous at the end?
Yeah.
Autumn, were you nervous at the end?
No.
Just like that. Yep, she's own cloth here.
All right, we'll go up to the press box to Jim, if you still have a question, and then down here to Matt.
Jim Mutter, motorsport.com. Congratulations, Brad.
Thank you.
Just following up kind of like on the organization, you talked specifically about how big wins at Darlington are. I guess the last one for the Roush organization was with Greg Biffle in 2006. I just wondered, what does it mean in the time that you have been a part of RFK to see the transformation from where it was to a point where you get a win like today and also have two cars that are obviously capable of winning races every week and perhaps competing for a championship again?
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a ride, Jim. You know, so much has changed over the last 3 years from when I walked in the door, and, you know, I see just a group that keeps getting stronger. It's tough because I feel like there's been a lot of two step forwards, one steps back. And you keep doing those and you keep doing those. And, you know, everybody kind of looks at it like, oh, we just took these two steps forward. Why would we take another step back? And it leads to the next gain. We took a pretty big step back over the offseason. It was with a lot of intentionality in a couple critical categories. We paid for that dearly to start the year and kind of lost some performance. But it was in the name of being able to do this right here, win races honest and be competitive. And the two steps forward are just now being realized. Never comes as quick as you want it to. It's a tedious, painful process that takes a deep grind at all levels, whether that's the driver level, the organizational level, the pit crew level. But that grind is worth it when you have moments like this, and I surely appreciate it.
We'll go to Matt, and then down here to our left.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. I don't want to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Where are you?
Over here. So why was Matt McCall, going back 3 years plus into this, why was Matt the guy? When you talk about leaving a positive impact on other people too, how much are you proud and happy for him as much as you are selfishly you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope he would say the same thing, that I've pushed him forward and he's pushed me forward. There are a lot of things I like about Matt. Matt's a grinder. Matt came in and wasn't afraid of the challenge. He and I both knew, and we sat down, before we made the decision together to pair up. And I told him, hey, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is going to suck. This is not going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of moments of pain here with expectations that are probably unrealistic. And I think Matt appreciated that honesty. And I appreciated the fact that he didn't run from it. He wasn't like, what do you mean? You know, like, but he could see it himself. And so I think there's a mutual respect there.
And my follow-up kind of addresses that same point, because I asked him this too, but you were up front with him and said it was going to suck. But I could say, looking at it from like our standpoint, that there were points over the last 3 years where things were not going right. There were penalties or just performance woes that have broken other teams and pairings apart. What were the factors, the honesty or trust, things like that, that prevented you guys from allowing you guys to stick it out and see it through?
Yeah, I think we have open and honest conversations with each other, where we, you know, are able to kind of have the normal conflict resolved that a team would have, and then probably some on top of that. I'd never looked at Matt and said, hey, you can't do this. I've never felt that way. We both, I'm sure, have had moments where we're like, oh, this is not going right, and kind of the moments of doubt. There's been some wins that got away from us. We're like, I made a mistake, or maybe we left something on the table with the car, and those sting. That's part of it. I appreciate the fact that he likes that I'm willing to take risks, calculated risks, and doesn't blow up over it, and vice versa. I like the fact that he's willing to do that. And when they don't work, it's really easy to, kind of just point a lot of fingers and divide and conquer. And I think he's done a great job of doing the opposite of that. And I'd like to think I have too when it comes to our relationship. I made a commitment to him when, he came over, that he was the guy and that we're going to work through those issues as they come. Of course, you always hope they don't come, right? But there's an inevitability to that. It's been really painful. It's been painful for me, painful for him, but we found a way to build and get better through it.
All right, we're going to try to get to as many questions as we can. We're not going to be able to get to everyone's hands up. So you guys could try to keep it to one question so we can get to as many as possible. It would be much appreciated.
Sorry, am I talking too slow?
No, you talk as much as you want to, Brad. You're great. We'll come over here to the left and then go to Jordan, John, and Dustin.
Chris Weaver with Fox 8 WGHP up in High Point. Brad, you're going to be in the All-Star race next week. I think you would have anyway with the championship deal. But when you look to that, the excitement of going back old school again this year, but the idea of racing on these Goodyear tires that have an option, what are your thoughts about the All-Star race and now playing out that option tire and how to do this again next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's a one week at a time kind of sport, I'll tell you that. I'm probably not going to think about the All-Star race for another day or two, to be quite honest. I'm going to try to enjoy this, and I know the work that comes with it before and after. And, you know, but it should be good. I mean, I like the concept. I love the fact Goodyear's willing to take chances, and they've done a great job.
I'm going to come down here to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Chris has got 4 wins since you've taken over. Obviously, we know this is – you haven't. What has it been like to digest that, though, seeing the success they've had? They found something. They've been in victory lane. They're having those moments that you haven't. Yeah. How do you process that as you go through this?
I'm happy for him. He's my teammate, and, you know, he's in some regard an employee, right? Yeah, there's the natural, you know, comparison. Everybody likes to do the comparisons. And I get it, right? It's I mean, some of those comparisons are fair and some of them aren't. You know, I think that Chris has done an excellent job at putting himself in position to win races and catching the good breaks to go with it. You know, I thought last year when he won Michigan, that was a perfect example of just that. He put himself in a great spot, just dug hard, didn't have the fastest car, and won the race. Like, that's amazing. He's been able to make things happen. He's in a good spot personally and professionally, you know, good age, good experience level. He's surrounded by some really good people. He's significantly underrated. I don't know why nobody else tried to steal him from us. You know, when we re-signed him last year, I thought for sure somebody else was going to make a run at him, and to my knowledge, they never did. I don't know why nobody else sees in him what I see in him, which is a guy that's a winner that you put in the right situation can be a multiple time, not just race winner, but even champion with the right equipment. And he doesn't get that credit and respect. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's so humble, but I've been happy to see him be successful. And I've never really spent a lot of time kind of looking in the mirror comparing our success.
I just want to confirm. I've heard this, but I want to confirm. You mentioned it. You have re-signed Chris to a multi-year contract extension.
Yeah, we did that sometime last year.
December.
Yeah. It wasn't December. It was in the summer.
Go to John, then Dustin.
John Newby, NBC Sports. So over the past, you know, month or so, you've been very realistic about inching forward, moving forward. You guys are getting closer with, you know, the dark horse. Now you got the win. So realistically, like, what's that next step?
Multiple wins, you know. I'm just ecstatic about the Coke 600. We've worked so hard to have fast cars and hope that carries over to that race. You know, the Coke 600 is a special race as well. I thought we were really good at Dover, and I screwed the race up. I thought we were really good at Kansas, and we kept catching bad breaks. And now we're finally, today, we didn't catch any bad breaks, and we ran competitively the whole time. And I'm just curious to see how the Coke 600 is going to be. It's nice being able to go into those races and not have to worry about points. Just being able to do what you need to do to score, go for a win.
Thank you. No problem. Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Brad, greatness is not achieved without risk. I think a lot of us in this room kind of have our idea of what risk you took when you went to RFK. But what risk did you feel like you were taking that maybe we didn't see?
I don't know. It depended on which press headline I read, you know. I heard from some fans, like, I can't believe you're throwing your career away. And then you're kind of like, well, maybe they're right. But then on the flip side, I was looking at the sport and just thinking to myself that, you know, if I dig deep here, you know, I can get this thing where it needs to be. And there's been a lot of deep digging moments. And, you know, that's been part of the journey. They're not all fun. In fact, a lot of them aren't fun. But it's part of the journey. And, you know, I sleep well at night with that decision. I was okay if it failed. You know, I had a lot of people that poked at me when Cindric won the 500. I had a lot of people poking at me. Oh, that could have been you over in that car. And, you know, same thing when Joey and Blaney won the championship last year and the year before. And you know what? They're right. But I'm not upset about that. I'm happy for those guys. Like I said, I still have meaningful relationships with Joey and with Blaney, and I'm happy to see them be successful. But I'm in a different place, right? And I've learned so much over the last 3 years about people and culture and organizations and the technical aspects of what it takes to, you know, build a race team that can win. And, you know, that's the action I crave, always craved, is being a part of that journey. And, you know, I have that. And that makes winning so much more special and more impactful to me personally.
Is there any way to define or explain just what these 3 years have been like? I don't think any of us can relate.
No, it's not relatable. I don't have an analogy for you. You know, it's just taking big risks and, you know, hoping they pay off. Still got more to do. And, you know, I've always done things my own way. I think you guys probably all know that. I'm going to keep doing it my own way. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But at the end of the day, I can look in the mirror and feel good about it. And I feel good about today. Didn't happen as fast as I wanted it to happen. But, you know, the journey's been really special.
We're going to go to Jerry, then to Pete.
Talking. Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. You were talking about risk out there on the track. It was you and Reddick got together, and, you know, Buescher swarmed down below you and got around, yeah. And it looked like it was going to be, you know, Buescher's race, and you're going to be
it
third.
Did.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they get together, and then you go around, and what are the emotions like? What are you thinking when that's happening? And are you, you're a team owner, and you're like, you've got a driver up there that's a teammate, but you want the win.
Yeah.
What is that? What's all happening?
Yeah, I was looking at when Chris passed. I didn't know he had a lot of damage on his car. And so I thought he was just going to drive away. And he maybe did for a lap or two. And then Tyler and I started running him back down. I was like, oh, no, he's not going to just run away. And I honestly thought Tyler was going to pass him and win the race. And I'm like, dang it. He came off of, Chris came off of turn one and two. He was really sideways, and Tyler got half a car length behind him. And I think we could all see what was going to happen. And I was watching that and just going, oh no. And then when they hit together and they both kind of slid up in the wall, or maybe the 45 didn't slide up in the wall, but, you know, smoke was coming everywhere. I saw that happen, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to try to get both of them. And I didn't get either of them. Like, oh no, that was my shot. And then Tyler had a flat tire, and then the next straightaway, Chris had a flat tire. And then I was just looking at my mirror thinking, oh, I hope nobody else comes and runs me down. But I'll tell you, it was a heck of a dogfight. I don't know what the reactions were in the stands or people watching at home, but I mean, this race was a nail biter in a lot of ways. You know, three wide passes for the lead a couple times. And it really wasn't settled, you know, until the last 10, 15 laps amongst the leaders. So pretty epic day, regardless of our win, and just glad to be a part of it.
Go to Pete, and then we're going to need to wrap up here with Lee.
Hey, Brad. Pete Iacobelli with the Associated Press. You talked about among the special moments today, Jack being here to watch. What did he say to you at the car? What kind of a moment was that? When you guys talked after the win?
Before the race, he told me, race the racetrack. And I said, yes, sir. And we did that until the end. At the end, it's like, hey, we got to go. And then at the car, he was just saying that, you know, he hadn't been in victory lane here in a long, long time. I think it had been 14 or 15 years, and we were talking about when the last time he was in victory lane here, and he said, I don't even remember. What has it been, Bob? Has it been 14, 15? When did they win here last? Jack, when did? Yeah, Greg Biffle in like 2006, 18 years ago. So I think that was pretty special for him.
Go to Lee.
Thank you.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. You talked earlier about having to make some hardcore investments in the team to try to get things turned around. I know earlier in the season you talked about looking at the ROI on pit crews. And I have to say, you know, from looking at the turn of events today, having the pit crew you did, investing in the pit crew certainly paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the 6 team is one of the best pit crews on pit road. Really proud of them today. They were just flawless. Put us in position there. You know, we didn't have the number one pit stall. And that number one pit stall was worth, you know, solid 1 to 2 positions every time. And we kept losing positions, but it wasn't because of them. The pit stops were phenomenal. And they just continued to deliver. And it had been easy for them to give up, too. You know, it's been a hard couple of years for them as well. But they keep putting the work in. They're energized. They just grind it out. They're all experienced, total professionals. I feel super lucky to have them.
All right, Brad. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Congratulations once again.